should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise, fill all things now living, united in thanksgiving.
Thanks very much, brethren, for the announcements this afternoon, Mr. Gerald Cleaver.
Good afternoon, everyone. We have a few announcements. It says the bombing updates. If you did not receive the latest update as you came in today, additional copies are available at the information table. Good Works program. If you have empty inkjet cartridges that you have brought today, a box marked drop box is on the information table. Is that true or false? True? I don't see it. So maybe you'll just have to drop them on the information table. Okay, Oklahoma OKC Post Feast Potluck and Party after services today. We'll be having a potluck and post feast party. Please share your feast pictures and stories with each other. And if you'd like to play board games, you're welcome to do that. And so if you did not come prepared for potluck, stay anyway. I didn't come prepared, and I'm going to stay. So just plan on staying. One in-home Bible study is scheduled for Tuesday, November 15th at the Van Sciver's home. We'll be covering the ninth fundamental of belief, water baptism. In the Oklahoma City Bible study, our next home study is scheduled for Wednesday, November 16th at Janice Burton's home, and we'll be covering the ninth fundamental belief, water baptism. And then we have a reminder of the local Good News Radio broadcast, Sunday's program at 8 a.m. on KRMG 740. I believe that's out of Tulsa. Did God create people evil? The presenters will be Gary Petty and Ed Smith. It's always hard for me to remember this is coming on. And then AM radio is not always the best either. Okay, then the East Texas Barn Dance. East Texas congregation will be having our annual barn dance on Saturday night, December 17th. We'll have a great variety of music, square dancing, hay rides, chili supper, and much more. We plan to have the multi-use area of our new church building in Big Sandy ready for the barn dance. I think of the barn dance at Big Sandy, I always think out there in Ambassador College where the dairy barn was. But I haven't seen this facility, so there's a new facility there. But you can read about that. He says, come join us for a fun-filled evening of activities. And then the Winter Family Weekend. This is a very long announcement. I probably won't read it all, but be sure and read it. We're now a mere 6 weeks away from the Winter Family Weekend. We'll have a few days together. Copies of flyer for this event are available with your bulletin on the back table, giving many details of what is planned. I don't know if that's there or not. I don't think so. Is it there? Good. David Nunn to the rescue. And these just some items here, information regarding the endless list of activities, where to make reservations, how and when to register, how and when to register for the young adult dinner dance, how to inquire about participation in special music, where to gather information for the singles in the middle. This year, we are encouraging you to register online. So you can read about that, because it's quite long and it continues on. So that used to be a great activity there, and I'm sure it's even better now. So if you have the time for that, that would be great. Families are welcome. Oh, this is a different one. I skipped one. No, that's it. Lewis, man, I'm jumping around here from barn dances to family weekends. So anyway, the Kentucky family weekend is quite an event, quite a long. I don't know whether Mr. Keller's, if he goes to that or not, but he's in that area. But anyway, be sure and read all about that. Prayer requests and updates. If you did not receive the latest national UCG prayer request update as you came in today, additional copies are available at the table. Francis Deal has been having a lot of difficulty with rheumatoid arthritis, causing a lot of pain in her left knee, leg, and throat. Some days she finds it very difficult to even get out of bed and move around. Please continue to remember her in your prayers. Earl Goodnight is scheduled to have heart surgery this Monday morning, November 14th. The doctor is expecting to do either a 4 or 5 bypasses. Please pray for God's blessing and healing. Charlie Sanders had a surgery Friday. He's home, maybe in pain, but doing okay. Now, not bad. So pray for poor Charlie. Or maybe you better pray for his wife. But pray for one of them or both of them. And we have a thank you card from Peggy Smith. I'll probably put this back there too, but may read it. Many thanks to Jim Hudson, Gerald Imes, Gerald Cleaver, David Nunn, Charlie Sanders, Mark Welch, and Ron Griffith for the scraping, sanding, and painting my garage and chicken house last Sunday. Now, this isn't no normal chicken house. This is something that I wouldn't mind moving into if I got run off from home. I mean, it's not that bad of a chicken house. Both buildings look quite nice now. I think Gerald Imes went back Thursday and put the finishing touches on the chicken house with his spray rig. Also, thanks to J.D. Thompson for lending ladder and make the painting possible. And special thanks to Debbie Hudson, Valerie Imes, Laura Cleaver, Kim Nunn, Marilyn Sanders, and Barbara Welch for lending their husbands for the day. I think they were very glad to do it. Okay. I think I'll just launch into being I'm the next speaker, because we have potluck boiling over back there, and everybody will be wanting to get there probably as soon as possible. Probably most of you have seen the billboards. I've often wondered who sponsors these. I don't know, but it'll have some statement on there, and then it'll be signed, God. Words like, this is God, has put up a billboard, and he just signs it, God. I've seen one where, don't make me come down there. Like, you know, it says God. Like, you can just see, like, some woman in the kitchen and the kids are destroying and fighting in the other room. And she's trying to do things and God's real busy. And don't make me come in there because it's going to be bad when I do. And this latest one I've seen is, you're my apprentice and I will never fire you. It's signed God. Well, I just when I saw those, I thought, I don't know. Is that a little nervy to write something and sign God's name to it? Or maybe you could quote him, and that'd be on a safer side. You know, is it a light thing to just say God says, or God's will is this? I remember my dad a lot of times says, the Bible says, and God says, and thinking, where is that? And to this day, I've never found it. But it worked at the time. And, you know, why do we have procedures and protocol? And like Mr. Hudson's talking about, an ambassador, he just can't go out there and start spouting off things. My country's going to do this, and no, I believe that, and taking it on himself. You know, have cities have codes for plumbing, electrical, whatever. And that may seem foolish at times. You say, well, you know, I could put this gas kick out over here. This would make more sense. It's a little bit too close to the window, but in order to move it, it's going to cause a lot of problems. But there's reason for those. There's reasons for codes. And, of course, soldiers, they have to have procedures and protocol. And then when they're in training, that probably seems like this just not making sense. But, you know, when the battle time comes, then it pays off. There's usually a reason why those things are done. And I see them on the History Channel in the war in Afghanistan. And those soldiers said, you know, it was our training. We were trapped there, and, you know, the Al-Qaeda was firing at us and were pinned down. And their training, they did it according to the way they were taught. But, you know, when God has not spoken plainly on every subject, and he hasn't, then God's church has to speak for God. Is that not right? You know, does God tell us what time to have church? If everybody came when they got ready, I don't know if there'd be anybody here or not. Some might be here early, some be late, of course. Or who would be speakers? Let's not have a vote on that. You know, who? Somebody has to make those decisions because God hasn't spelled it out. And in 2005, on this date, so-and-so is going to speak. And if we look at the book of Judges, I might just turn over there to Judges chapter 21 because I'm a little scared now to just say God says that. I better read it. Judges chapter 21. In verse 25, and preceding to this is just, if you read through Judges, it seems like one disaster after another. Just preceding this, you know, a man, his concubine was taken out and raped and mutilated and died on the doorstep, and he cuts her up in pieces and sends a piece to all the tribes of Israel. And results in a big war with the tribe of Benjamin because they allowed it. In verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's where we find ourselves, if everyone does what's right in his own eyes. God doesn't tell us what time to have church, who's going to be speaking. He gives that authority to his church. And, you know, just taking God's name and without being authorized can be dangerous. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And this is well-meaning people. In verse 1, Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Well, maybe he was right or wrong. I don't know. Why they were upset, I don't know. I don't think it gives us that kind of background. And they said, has the Eternal indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And notice it says, and the Lord heard it. Yeah, he's listening. He heard it. And then it says, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, just like your mom, get in here now. It's like, come out, you there, three. Boy, does that sound, you know, when you were a child, come out here, you three, right now. You know you were in trouble. To the tabernacle meeting, so the three came out. Then the Eternal came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. Verse 6, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Eternal, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Eternal was aroused against them, and he departed. And Miriam was struck with leprosy. You know, because she said, has God only spoken through him? He's spoken through us too. She took something on herself that was not hers to take. And, of course, she only had to be put out for 7 days, and Moses went to God and pleaded for her, and she was forgiven. But I bet she was very careful after that about speaking for God. And what about in Acts chapter 19? Acts chapter 19 in verse 11. Acts 19 verse 11 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. He said he worked unusual miracles. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them. And we still use anointing cloths to this day. It says here that God used unusual miracles, but the church has determined that this is an appropriate way. If a minister can't come to someone's house, that an anointed cloth can be sent. That's a church decision, as I see it. I mean, I wouldn't, as an elder, I wouldn't ever take that on myself if it wasn't a church policy. Somebody called me, okay, I'll send you a handkerchief. I'll drop some oil on it and you'll get it in a couple of days. Now, the church has determined that that is appropriate, and I couldn't disprove it, and so I accept the church's decision on that. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Notice it said they took it upon themselves. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you speaking for God? We don't know you. Then the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. think they learned a lesson then, to wait till God authorizes you to use his name in casting out an evil spirit. Because apparently God didn't back them up. They weren't speaking for God. They were speaking for themselves. You know, God. So my point would be that you got to be careful when you say God says or God is or God will do. Be sure that that is what God says. And you know, church authority decides who speaks for God. We don't all go out and ordain ourselves and appoint ourselves speakers. I mean, we just all line up and start speaking. And I know different people spoke in the synagogues at the first century. But this wasn't just everybody line up and take your turn. No, if we see in, I might turn there in Matthew 16, in verse 19. And Jesus was talking to Peter here in verse 18. And he said, Peter, you know, you a stone, a pebble. But on this rock, or this big rock, which is Christ, I'll build my church. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's interpreting God's scriptures, not the authority, as some has, to change the day of the Sabbath, to change God's law. No, these are questions, I believe in Matthew 18 is an example, verse 17. I might just look briefly at that. And it's talking about if your brother offends you, go to your brother. If he won't listen, then take some witnesses. Then, if he won't listen to them, then you go to the church. And the church then can bind or loose what the problem is. And of course, if he refused to listen to the church, as in verse 18. But God gives authority who speaks for him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice, now I speak with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Now, if everybody's doing their own thing, how could they speak the same thing? If an ambassador in a country is not speaking what the prime minister is, what kind of problems would you be having then? And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. You can't leave it to everyone. You're not going to be of the same mind and the same judgment if everybody's doing what's right in his own eyes. In verse 11, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chio's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, or I am Cephas, or I am Christ. Words, I'm going to church today because Paul's preaching. I don't like the Cephas, so I'm not going to show up on the next week. Or at the feast, you know, Mr. Kylo's speaking, that's great. This other guy, I never heard of him. We're going to the beach. And no, he says, is Christ divided in verse 13? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. No, we can't can't be deciding for ourselves who we like, or not, maybe not who we like, but deciding that we're not going to listen to certain people just because maybe we don't like their presentation. And a lot of times those speaking, as all of you that's been around any time at all, you think, what in the world is he doing up there? You see how this guy lives? Let's look at Matthew 23. God just, he wants to maintain order. And with imperfect men, sometimes it is, I'm sure, is quite challenging. In Matthew 23 and verse 1, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. At that time, that was the place that was ordained to be the authority. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. And all of us have seen that example of men who maybe get up and preach a powerful sermon, but if you knew their personal life, you know, you could become offended and say, that can't be God's minister or whatever. But, you know, Christ said, they sat in Moses' seat. And there's been bad examples. My wife and I was talking about one, the piano player somewhere else. You don't know. And excellent piano player. But the minister said, told him, if your wife doesn't lose weight, she can't play the piano. I mean, she could walk up there and she could play, you know. But, I mean, this was a real trial for this man, as you might guess, and for the lady. Well, this guy sat in Moses' seat, and he probably preached correctly from the when he preached, but, you know, his private life was self-righteous and offensive to people. So we've all known people that way. And then there's people that preach error, totally wrong, and their life seems to be a perfect example. I mean, their wife loves them. Their kids are lined up like olive trees, and they're telling us to turn away from God and forsake his law. You don't need to do this. So, I mean, Satan's got both sides covered, believe me. I think most of us has seen how he will cover. If one direction becomes ineffective, he kicks in the other one. And until it's ineffective, and then there's another one ready to move in that people aren't prepared for. So, but they sat in Moses' seat, and God asked to maintain order in his church. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. It says, obey those who rule over you. And in the margin it says lead. And that's what we're talking about. Those who lead, God has put, he's asked to put certain people to lead, or we know what kind of confusion we would have. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. And I think he had to put be submissive in there because a lot of times human leaders are leading people that's probably smarter than they are. And some of them, they're in a position to lead, probably know this ain't going to work this way. But not that they'd be leading into sin, but just leading. And there's maybe better ways of doing things. But that person's there to lead. For they watch for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In other words, let them do it with joy. If you're digging in your heels and being resistant to the those that are put in the position to lead, then, you know, you're not going to be happy. You're going to cause them grief and cause yourself grief, even though maybe in your own mind you know a better way and you know better. And there's ways of going about. If someone's teaching something wrong, there's procedures to go about to correct that without being rebellious. And where it says watch, it says they watch for your soul. The word there means to be like sleepless, to keep awake, to exercise constant vigilance over something, like a shepherd. You know, Mr. Welch has that responsibility. And I know he spent sleepless nights. And, you know, he's trying to exercise constant vigilance. And it's a big responsibility. And we know that there are, of course, there's false ministers, there's false prophets. And I think we know where to draw the line. As it plainly says, I can't remember the scripture, but if they don't speak according to the law and the testimony, there's no light in them. So if someone starts leading us to break God's commandments and laws, we know where to draw the line. And we know that there will be false ministers that come in and scatter the flock. You know, the church has made, Mr. Nunn and I were discussing this at the feast, has made decisions about smoking. I've never found any place in the Bible where it says you shall not smoke, chew, or spit. But the church has determined that that's not the thing for church to be doing. You know, and it's destructive, it's dirty, and the church has made that decision. And we all abide by that. Many people's had a hard time stop smoking or chewing or any tobacco habit. It'd be very hard to break. But, hey, they've done it because the church says so, and they know the church has God's backing, and I believe that they're right in it. You know, and we back that decision up. And then there's the, we also was talking about this, eating in a restaurant on the Sabbath. When my youngest daughter was dating her future husband, his mother, if he was coming on the Sabbath, like to church, she would send sandwiches with him because they knew we were going to go out and eat. And, hey, I can't knock anybody for that. The church says, has determined that restaurant employees are not under our control and under our authority. If they were, we wouldn't be using them. But if someone doesn't feel comfortable in eating out, I say more power to you because you don't want to transgress your conscience, and the church doesn't tell us, hey, you have to go eat on Saturday. No, it just says that that's permissible, but you sure do not have to do it. But I think that's a church decision. That, you know, it's a day of rest, and definitely those who are under our authority, we do not ask to work. But the church has determined a restaurant employee is under the authority of the restaurant and of the manager, not under our authority. So that's a church decision. But it's one you don't have to do. You can say, I'm just not comfortable with that. And I think anyone here would respect that. So that's an example of a decision that God is bound because His church has made it. And if He didn't bind it, I think something would happen and it would be revealed that we should not be doing it. And, of course, any decision like that has to be based on Scripture. And those that study that have more time to study it have made that determination. And then there's the Apostle Paul. You know, we think that he may come across as kind of an independent, but he was under authority to the church, too. Paul, his calling, you know, we know he was blinded on the road to Damascus for like 3 days, and he spent time there. But he was tutored and taught directly by Jesus Christ. It seemed he had ever reason to say, I'm striking out on my own. I'm going to start my own church right here. You know, he went to Arabia first. He was instructed. And he started preaching, but just in the Damascus area. And he was threatened there. And then a little bit later, within I think 3 years, he went to Jerusalem, met Peter and James, but just for a few days. But he went there to the apostles, and they explained his conversion. And you know that it was like 14 years later before the Jerusalem conference, and Paul was called back to Jerusalem. 14 years later. And that's in Acts chapter 2. I might read that. He says there in Galatians chapter 2 is what I meant. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are reputation, lest any means I might run or had run in vain. So it was some 14 years later. And in verse 9, after the conference, the elders and the apostles gave him letters and sent him out. In verse 9, when James, Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. Then Paul started his serious Gentile preaching. And, you know, it was just one problem after another. Shipwrecks, snake bites, and the record's there. But, you know, Paul himself, he was taught directly by Jesus Christ, and yet he went to the conference and he explained the calling of the Gentiles. He could have felt independent, that he didn't need the church. Do you think if anyone could ever have felt that way? I might turn over to Acts 15. And say they sent a letter in verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And they wrote this letter by them. And they sent this letter with Paul about the Gentiles, the apostles, and notice it says in verse 23, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Galatia, and greetings. These are places where Paul had preached. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. In other words, some had gone out saying, okay, fine, you're keeping the law, but you're going to have to be circumcised too. I know you're 65 years old, but that's the way it is. You know, you've been a Gentile, and you're going to have to be circumcised. So they realized, again, the church made that decision right there. Because circumcision predated Moses. Abraham was circumcised. And the church made that. And, of course, under the inspiration of Jesus Christ. But Paul, was under the authority of the church. So we just need to be careful if we speak for God. Of course, there's a lot of in the prophets about false prophets and God saying, I don't speak that. I didn't say that. In Jeremiah 23, I might go ahead and turn there because I couldn't remember exactly what. Just as an example, Jeremiah 23, just in verse 1 beginning, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, says the Lord. In verse 16, this says the Eternal of Hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart. And how many times the Apostle Paul warned people to watch out for that? Satan knows that we are to be guided by the church, so he's constantly there trying to infiltrate with false ministers and false representatives. In verse 17, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. See, everybody, if you're walking according to the imagination of your own heart, a false minister is going to say, well, I think you're right on. That's looking real good. I heard this, probably some of you heard Pat Robertson's comment about the school board incident in Dover. Was it Dover, what, Delaware or Pennsylvania? And a lot of people took offense to his comment that I don't really want to quote him either, but something like, well, if you run into trouble, don't call on God because you've kicked him out of your city. He didn't say there was going to be trouble, but if there is, you know, they've. Apparently, the election removed all the school board members who were for teaching in the school intelligent design. So, and that's what he's saying here. Everyone doing what's in their own eyes. And I heard a lady on radio call in and say, well, you know, that's not how God does. He accepts people just as they are. I'm thinking about that. Man, that's exactly what some false minister has taught her. It says right there, and to everyone who walks according to his own imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And it's surprising how many people have bought into that you just confess Christ and go about your business and you're just fine. Well, we must be careful who speaks for God. There's all in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 13, says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So there's always going to be those kind of people Satan plants within his church or close to it. Well, who speaks for God? Again, turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. And I'll read verse 17 one more time. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who lead over you or lead you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, Christ is the head of the church. So when the church makes a decision, it's coming down just as that prime minister to the ambassador. Verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing. Make you complete in what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brethren, we all have to work out our own salvation. That's for sure. But God's church is here to encourage and inspire and to see that the things are done decently and in order, not in confusion. And to guide us through, you know, the unclear times and things that come about where there's someone with authority to make a decision when it's just not clear what to do. And when our own understanding is just, we're not capable of being understanding God's will. So God's church is here to help us through those times and those things that just aren't completely clear maybe in the Bible.